This Sunday and next Sunday, we're talking about independence themes, that kind of thing. The Bible has a lot to say, less about independence, but a ton about freedom, right? So a verse for you today, let's see, let me get the right book here. 1 Peter, where am I here? Yeah, 2:9. Here's a verse for you, thinking about it as American Christians. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Our freedoms, man, I don't want to hear people say, America sucks, man. No, you suck, Junior. I've been to 60 countries and territories, and America's awesome. Shut it. Ungrateful. Just ungrateful. We have it so good we can actually be spoiled brats and be ungrateful. It's crazy. I'm just getting started, people. Let's pray. Again, Father, thanks for this day. Thanks for your love for us. We just open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to your truths today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you catch the King's speech to Congress some time ago? It was hilarious. It was a master class in throwing shade. It was awesome. Notice the difference in kingship and how constitutional monarchy works today, which is actually an oxymoron, right? Contradiction in terms, monarchy and constitution. But that's how the Brits do it. They are a united kingdom. We are United States, right? So in 1 week, we are celebrating our nation's quincentennial, the 250th anniversary, our independence from Mother England, right? And again, how many of you here remember the bicentennial 50 years ago? Yeah. Yeah, that was a big deal back then. I mean, all these schoolhouse videos, rock videos coming out, and there's more, and I'll play some more next week. And, you know, that's kind of how I learned English language and constitution. I'm just a bill. Remember that one? Like on Capitol Hill, thank you. Conjunction, junction? What's your function? Thank you, right? You know, that's fun. I remember back in 2018 when Deb and I visited Great Britain with the Webbers. Do you remember we actually were in England on 4th of July? That was weird, right? Because obviously there was no parades, no fireworks, passed like any other day. Obviously, they don't celebrate the 4th of July in England, right? That was just weird, right? United States is different from other countries that were colonized or ruled by the British because we took our freedom. Other countries were given their freedom. Right? Kind of like our neighbors to the north. There's a reason why the United States is not a part of the British Commonwealth of Nations, right? The post-colonial world, British world. Canada is a part of that. Uganda, where Sam Namalabe lives and ministers, is a part of the British Commonwealth of Nations. I was actually in Uganda with Sam several years ago on Ugandan Independence Day, and I was really excited. I was like, hey, Sam, what are we doing today? I said, there's going to be some parties, some food, some fireworks. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, it's Ugandan Independence Day. What they do is the president goes to a particular province and they have a little parade or whatever, but the whole country doesn't celebrate. I was like, Sam, why don't you celebrate Ugandan Independence Day? He said, I'll never forget this. He said, because we're not free. We're not free. Yeah, third world country in hock to many nations, incredibly corrupt. Last time I was there, remember, Greg remembers this, that the beautiful new tollway from Entebbe Airport to the capital, Kampala, it's all funded by the Chinese. And I said to Sam, if you thought the British were tough on you, That's Sunday school compared to what the Chinese will do in this country. I sound a little political here? I don't care. It's just true. We don't celebrate it because we're not free. You know, Americans, when we celebrate Independence Day, it is unique. We do it in high style, unlike most nations of the world. We are different. It is true. You know, I remember my father's retirement community in Florida. He'd winter down there, and my dad, God rest his soul. When the shuffleboard trash talking started flying, there's a lot of Canadians down there. And my dad would get mad with them, and he'd say, "You loyalists need to go home now. Go home, loyalists." And they'd get so furious with my dad. Just cracks me up. You know, tensions between Britain and our and us have obviously cooled, as we saw from the King's address to Congress. We're very close allies. Perspectives can understandably vary, as we've seen from the video there. Even though we as Americans are celebrating, I would have liked to seen Congress flash this picture. That would have put a monkey wrench in there. Happy Treason Day, you ungrateful colonials. Constitutional monarchy. Okay. To which I sound like Elvis. Thank you. Thank you very much. This got me thinking this week as we move to the 4th of July celebration. You know, what are our attitudes as Americans towards monarchies and kingdoms anyway? This is interesting in the spiritual life. As I've asked people over, many years this question, there's a range among Americans, right? Americans range from being hostile to monarchies to ambivalent, I don't really care, to strangely fascinated by the British royalty. Have you noticed this, right? I'm just curious, how many of you read President Trump's book, The Art of the Deal? Fantastic book, no matter what you think of him, one way or the other. This book is still used by business schools today. I forget what chapter it was, but his book has influenced this church. Because here's how it's influenced me. President Trump never pays for advertising. Do you notice this? He creates a little buzz. And all of a sudden, the big papers come to him, and he gets free advertising. You know how many times that's worked for Mosaic Church in our 9.5 years? I'll just say something, or Greg will say something, the Ravalli Republic, Christmas dinners or this or that. Do you know how many times we've been on the front page of the Republic over the years? We haven't paid the Republic a penny, right? It's really expensive to advertise in newspapers. Not that anybody's hardly reading them anymore, but we've got all our advertisement for free over the years, right? Did you know, President Trump's mother was an immigrant? Did you know this? She was Scottish. Did you see Scotland take over Boston for the FIFA Cup? You caught that? Oh, what a bunch of jolly alcoholics. Have you seen this? It's on YouTube. These guys, 20,000 of them came over for the soccer matches, and they came to Boston and they drank it dry. I can't make this up. They went to, the Boston Lager Company, Samuel Adams, whatever, they drank the brewery dry. And they had to ship stuff in. And the Scots, the ones in Scotland that didn't come and have the money to come over, they're a little more violent. Glasgow is the knifing capital of Europe, actually, because they can't have guns. So if you don't have a gun, because guns kill people. Anyway, these Scots came over, and it's called the Tartan Army, and they get drunk, then they help little old ladies across the street in Boston, and they clean up the Boston parks. And then, after dark, they take all the traffic cones, have you seen this? The orange cones? And they find all the statues, historic statues in Boston, and they put them on their heads. It's the funniest, dumbest thing you've ever seen. What's your point? Okay, anyway, President Trump's mom was Scottish, right? And Queen Elizabeth, that King Charles's mom he referred to, she was coronated, I think it was in 54, 56, right after the British Empire was sort of dissolving. Trump says that his mother was glued to the TV to watch Queen Elizabeth's coronation. But Trump's father was very American, Fred. And Fred was reported to have said this. It just cracks me up. Marianne, why are you watching that stuff? We all know that the British royalty are a bunch of crooks. I thought that was hilarious, and she just kept watching it, right? The United States has eschewed, it's against, actually, if you read that foundational document, it's against law for Americans to take noble, let alone royal titles. You cannot do that, right? So if an American is knighted by, say, the King of England, right, King of Britain, excuse me, he cannot use Sir in his front name. He can only have the letters after his name, because it's enshrined in our founding documents, right? I found it fascinating. Do you remember the royal wedding between Prince Harry and the American actress Meghan Markle? That got a lot of press. Boy, that's gone south in a hurry, hasn't it? But I remember watching that. I have to ask the question, what is the American fascination with British royal weddings anyway? Any of you remember Prince Charles, now King, and Lady Diana Spencer's wedding? That was quite an affair, right? Well, the affair came later, but it was before. Be that as it may, it's so inappropriate. What? Oh, Lord. Oh, my. You're going to get fired. You're going to get shut up. What is it with pomp and circumstance? What is it, the fairy tale romance of it all? Is it that American woman became a princess? What American girl doesn't want to be a princess? Well, maybe not everyone. Anybody remember American actress, later Princess Grace Kelly of Monaco? Oh, yeah, one of ours made it, I guess. What is that? Do we struggle with celebrity lust? Is that a term? Celebrity lust? I made that up. I mean, have you noticed in recent years, politicians poll musicians and sports stars for their political opinions? Can you think of anything more ridiculous? Yeah. What do they know anyway? I mean, what do they know about geopolitics or whatever? One of my favorite British satirists, Jonathan Pye, this guy cracks me up, he's rough for Brit. Very dry, sarcastically. Remember when President Trump won his first presidency and everybody was shocked, right? He said this dryly. He said, oh my Lord, it's as if the political acumen of Beyonce and Jay-Z count for nothing. I was like, praise God. So, anyway, I had too much coffee. So it seems that even as we as Americans, you know, we struggle with a variety of different and even contradictory thoughts and positions regarding the British royalty. But that's nothing new. That's throughout our nation's history, really. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why Americans struggle with the idea of God as king. That's kind of a hard sell a little bit, because we don't do kings. We just saw the video, right? No more kings, right? After all, I mean, do we give any consideration to the Lord's Prayer? Think about how it starts. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's royal language, isn't it? So I've noticed that many Americans, because of our own history, our attitudes towards the British monarchy, we struggle with the idea of our Father who art in heaven, but also with the idea that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? We should think about this as we celebrate our nation's 250th. If you really comb the pages of God's word, we'll find that God has given men, women, and this is we understand, and even children, free will. We're all about free will as Americans. That's clear in the scriptures. We can at least in America make meaningful and independent choices for us, or in many cases, our loved ones who are in our care, right? But let's be clear this morning, in the pages of the Bible, we as Christians know and understand this, right? There is no true independence apart from a life submitted to our heavenly King Jesus, who's also known as the Prince of Peace, right? There's, you know, we trumpet freedom like it's a thing of itself, but there's no freedom apart from Jesus. There's no freedom, right, apart from discipline, really, right? What does David say in the Psalms? I run in the paths of your freedom, God, because you've set my heart free, right? We're thinking about today, independent choices. Psalm 2, why do the nations conspire? Why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand. The rulers gather against the Lord and against his anointed one. And what do they say? Let us break their chains. Let's throw off their fetters. The enthroned one, the King of heaven, laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger. He terrifies them with his wrath. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Have you thought about these passages? Later, Psalm 14, more directly, verse 1. The fool has said in his or her heart, there is no God. The fool. So we as American Christians, we need to understand we are seen as especially strange to some, utterly unique to others, in that we acknowledge no earthly king and we're glad to live in a democratic nation of laws, all the while we acknowledge and submit to our heavenly King, Jesus Christ. See the irony of this, really? We submit to Jesus. Resurrected, exalted, King of kings, Lord of lords, will come a second time as a conquering king to usher in the end of time, says the Bible. So if you want to add to that kind of weird kind of thing, add to that that we are Montanans. Now, I've been told you're not a Montanan, Jim. Well, I don't care what you think. I got the license and I got the mortgage, thank you. And I'm stuck in this place, so don't... What's that? Yeah. No more kings. I do as I please. See, here's how it works, right? Woo, yeah. We can agree. I have lived in 5 states. Montana's a different. Man, I could build community in New York City and Chicago much easier than Montana, by the way. You're like, well, those places are crazy. Now, there's a method to that madness. You know where to go at what time of the day. You know, as soon as you try and predict something in Montana, they'll just walk away and laugh at you. It's funny. So Montana, we got Western individualism, a general distrust of big government 2,400 miles away from here in D.C., a disregard and suspicion of suits, titles and letters before and after people's name, right? You have a batch of people for whom kings and royalties have little, actually no place whatsoever, I've found, right? Finally, Americans, and particularly Americans in Western states, think of the word as of dependent as a negative thing. Dependence. Take adult children who are dependent on their parents. Get a job, right? Or people who are dependent on a variety of systems, for example, right? But again, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about personal, societal, or national independence. It does talk a lot about freedom. Freedom from the self-life, freedom from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Freedom, as the author of Hebrews says, from sin which so easily entangles. Right? Apostle Peter says, 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, live as free women, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Have you noticed how many people talk about freedom, but it's just a cover for evil? Right? Right? Live as servants of God, Peter says. You know what the Greek is? Live as slaves of God. The more you are in slavery to God, the more free you will be. That's the oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. You know, people who eschew God most, push him away, are more slaves than you are. That's how it works. Oh, I don't agree with you. I don't care. You're an American. You don't have to agree. I mean, you just fight just a fight. You know, most places you get your head cut off, but we argue just for argument's sake. It's silly. Right? Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. That's inscribed in the county building in downtown Detroit. I've never forgotten that. It's like, I look around, it's like, man, then I think we need more of the spirit of God in this town if we're going to have freedom, right? Now, one of the best sentences known in the English language is from the American Declaration of Independence, right? We hold these truths to be what? self-evident that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We take that for granted today. They couldn't back then. That among these are life, liberty, another word for freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, have you ever noticed people spend their lives pursuing happiness? If you pursue happiness as an end to itself, you'll never get it. It's like the Holy Grail. Oh, it's almost there. Nope, it's gone. You pursue a life in Jesus Christ, and happiness will set up itself up at your door. You have that testimony. You know these things, right? Right? When these words were penned 250 years ago, it not only caused King George III to quake and shake with rage, but countless kings around Europe. I just love that little video when he gets so mad. He's just bouncing around. He sends the pink troops. I digress as usual. Anyway, that original call for freedom and American independence echoed throughout the Western Hemisphere. The world has never, ever been the same since, right? But unfortunately, I think most Americans today have failed to truly understand and appreciate the raw courage, right? Tremendous personal risk took by our founding fathers to win our freedom and our independence from the British monarchy. You know, we have the luxury today of mocking royalty. We do. We think it's funny, right? And it kind of is. But our founding fathers did not have that luxury. We know this, right? They did not have that luxury. To stand in the presence of a king was not a laughing matter back then. It was as serious as a heart attack. And if you failed in protocol, it could cost you your livelihood, if not your life. You know, that the king is cracking jokes in Congress was not what was going on when his fifth great-grandfather was sending troops to our shores. Do we get that? History matters, right? We know historically, and history matters, you know, a whole new future and life was opened up for the United States, no longer under British subjugation, but a fully free and independent power. Now the wealthiest and most powerful nation on the planet, right? I mean, think about it today versus, say, this clip. Could John Adams and our other founding fathers ever dared to dream where we are today? Could they dare to dream that? Again, no apologies, but when people say America sucks, they don't know what they're talking about. They certainly haven't done any travel, that's for sure. Again, you know what I think one of the best things that happened to America is recently, the FIFA World Cup soccer coming to the U.S.? That was brilliant. Do you know how many Europeans got an attitude adjustment? Tons, you know, because out there, America sucks, man, but with an accent. They discovered Walmart. Go watch the British have a meltdown in aisle 7 of Buc-ee's. I thought you just filled up cars and, you know, maybe got some bad fish and chips. Oh, no, we got Buc-ee's nuggets. We got Texas brisket. You see these British people just like almost crying when they taste Texas brisket. I'm like, feel the power, baby. Yeah. Right? Anyway, wrapping up here. As we celebrate our nation's semi-quincentennial 250th birthday this week, you know, I wanted to think about our freedoms. And I got to ask you, and myself too, are we truly grateful for all the freedoms we experience, right, from God and his blessings? Do we understand the gravity of our life and as the followers of Jesus Christ? Here's that verse. It's worth memorizing. 1 Peter 2:9, right? Can we say this in some sense about ourselves as Americans? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? A people belonging to God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Meditate on that this week, right? Pray about that. So amidst this morning's historical and spiritual lesson, I hope we appreciate the tremendous irony, the vital truth that we as Americans are now a free nation of citizens ruled by common law, not by a king who literally lives 4,500 miles away from here. God has gifted us. He has given you and I free will, and we are free to make independent choices, right? And while we're free to choose as Christians, we know there's no true freedom in a life that declares independence from Jesus Christ, right? Our heavenly King, our Prince of Peace, right? It's a little kitschy, but you've probably seen this bumper sticker. I think there's a lot of truth to it. If you know Jesus, you'll know peace. If Jesus is not in your life, know Jesus, don't expect to have any peace. No peace, right? And so we as American Christians are understandably seen as strange to some people in this world, utterly unique to others, in that we acknowledge no earthly king. We're glad to live in a free and democratic nation of laws. Yet, all the while, we acknowledge and submit to our heavenly King, Jesus Christ, resurrected, exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords, who will return a second time as a conquering king to usher in the end of all time. You know, one of the titles of King Charles III is Defender of the Faith. What faith? The Christian faith, people, right? Amen? You know what Hebrew? You know what amen means in Hebrew? So be it. So be it. If you agree, say amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful this morning, and we repent from our ingratitude. We are grateful for the freedoms we enjoy in Christ, and we enjoy our freedoms as Americans. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for all this. And Lord, as we go into this celebration, this 250th celebration of our independence this week, we pray that you would call us to prayer, to contemplation, to reading the foundational documents, to giving you thanks and praise for all this more, this and more. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen. Thanks.